Support for WPR comes from Luther College in Decorah, Iowa. With summer camps for pre-K through high school, offering skills in sports, music, and more. luther.edu/summer-camps. Support for WPR comes from the American Society of Landscape Architects Wisconsin Chapter, dedicated to reimagining the design of outdoor spaces for the well-being of all. Examples at wiasla.com.
When Sam Clemens took on the pen name Mark Twain, he was cleverly referring to a measure of depth. He was also tapping into what used to be a hallmark of river life, sounding calls. Owen Sellis has the story of these calls, along with an actual recording of a 52-year-old river pilot named Joe Shores. It was made in 1939.
So before steamboats had the technology able to navigate the river and to actually see the bottom, they needed to come up with ways of mapping it.
While we're sounding water to see why they have shallow water, you know, keep the tow from getting the ground.
Sounding is the process of throwing in a line, like a lead-weighted line, into the water, and then pulling it back up and seeing how deep the water is. And they would call out the depth of the water to the pilot.
No bottom. No bottom.
They had to be loud enough so the pilot could hear, especially on these steamboats. The water churning, the engines running. And they also had to communicate the depth in specific measurements. So they had to sort of enunciate in a very particular way. So one thing I noticed when I started looking into sounding calls and reading about them and listening to recordings is that almost all of them were Black Americans singing. The whole steamboat economy and slavery are intimately connected, and you can't separate them. The products that these steamboats were carrying up and down the river, and a good amount of the labor that was running them, was Black Americans. Slaves prior to the Civil War and free Black Americans who are still brutally treated.
What the lace fool have twain.
To the pilots, obviously the sounding call was a very technical and useful form of information. They used it to navigate the river. Without it, they could run aground. They could lose the whole boat. So for them, sounding calls was an urgent and important piece of information. For passengers on the boat, there's lots of evidence that sounding calls were this very romantic and picturesque experience of traveling on the river. They would write about how sad and mournful it sounds and beautiful, and which is interesting because when you get down to the bottom, you know, down on the deck where this is actually happening, from what we know about the experience of these people actually doing the sounding calls, for a lot of them, their lives were really hard. The work was really tough. And so for them, sounding calls was a completely different thing. It was a way of expressing themselves, you know, in a society where their voices weren't really heard anywhere else.
What do twain mark twain?
It's something that it's hard for us maybe to imagine, that the sounding call, it was so important to this landscape. I called it a sound mark, which, like a landmark in a familiar landscape that you rely on to sort of orient yourself or you have some sort of emotional connection with, the sounding call was a sound mark. And when people heard it, it was very evocative. It reminded them of the Mississippi. It brought back memories and experiences. And it kind of led me to think more about just sounds in our life and what they mean to us.
Quarterly's twain. Nine in the hay field.
Owen Sellis is a graduate student in the Nelson Institute for Environmental Studies at the UW-Madison, and Joe Hartke did the sound design.